certainly glad to be back in the house of the Lord one more time and be able to stand behind this book board and that the church has enough confidence in us to come back and try to preach His Word. And I fall short every time I stand behind here, but we get credit for trying, and that's all that we can do is try to do His work. And I heard several times today, various people had said it, had no interaction with one another that I suppose, and they asked a question or made a statement about, if you want to get something out of it, you got to put something into it. So if we want to get something out of this service tonight, we have to put something into it. And I'm going to try my very best to do my part. But you have to do your part also. If we want to see things happen tonight, we have to pray that the Lord will make that happen. We can't come in and play church, as they say. We can't just come in and go through the motions. We've got to put forth the effort and labor more abundantly than, as Paul said. And our thought today comes out of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've never preached these scriptures before, but that doesn't matter. There's all kinds of sermons in this book, and we'll take it out of the second chapter in the fourth verse. We'll start there, and I certainly desire your prayers tonight, and I can't do anything without the Lord's help, and we certainly desire your prayers and that we can get self out of the way. And that seems to be my biggest trouble, is getting Brian Flynn out of the way. And when I close the door to everything outside, and honey, just focus on the scriptures and what the Lord wants us to say, then it comes out exactly as God wants us to. But when Brian Flynn puts his opinions or thoughts into it, then it's all kinds of a mess. So pray for us tonight as we try to work through this and bring it out in a manner that might be pleasing unto the Lord. And it says, I believe Solomon being the writer here, and he said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men and musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Now listen to what he says. He said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. See, Solomon had all of these great worldly possessions, and he labored and did all these things for the Lord. But at the end of the day, it made no difference. See, his life wasn't any better off than when that he started. Even with all the worldly things that he had, it didn't make a hill of beans to anything. Honey, we can work all day long for man and serve man all day long and get no reward from it, see? Honey, but if we work for the Lord for just a little bit, honey, the rewards are endless. We got to work for the Lord, see? Solomon did all of those things for himself, and it didn't pay off. Now listen to what it says. We think about Paul there. He says, and we'll go over and try to turn to it, what Paul did. If we can find it over in Corinthians there, it said, "For I am the least of the apostles." It said, "I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church." It said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." He said, "But I labored more abundantly than they all. Not yet, not I, but the grace of God which was with me." He said, "I labored more abundantly than they all." And you see the reward that Paul got, didn't you? The work and the results that Paul had. Most of this book was written by Paul and his efforts. See, he was rewarded for the works that he done. Labored more abundantly than they all. The scripture says there that we can serve God and mammon both. I think it's over there in Matthew, if we can turn to it right quick there. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Who are we going to serve today? Solomon there was serving man there, and it didn't do him any good. And we'll read a little bit later of what he tried to do after that, and it still didn't do him any good. And but we think about Paul and where he says that he labored more abundantly than they all on the rewards that he got there. And then we think about why that we want to labor more abundantly and what we've got in front of us and the reasons that we're laboring so much and why we keep going. It's for these bright-eyed boys and girls like her in that front row and my little granddaughter that comes with us and all the little boys and girls in our church that run up and down them aisles. That's why we go. You know, the scripture says that the harvest is ready and plentiful. Or the fields are ready to harvest, I believe is what it says. You know, and it tells us, the scriptures tell us how long. How long do we keep going and working for the Lord? Genesis, I believe that it is, tells us how long. And over in the 8th chapter in the 22nd verse, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Honey, as long as the world goes round and round and we plant seeds and we harvest them and it's cold and it's hot, honey, that's as long as we keep working for the Lord and preaching God's word and doing the things that He wants us to do. Honey, we can't give up. Honey, when our grandkids get saved, we got to pray for the next ones. Amen. Honey, we can't just stop there. There's boys and girls in here that need to hear God's word. And honey, when we're done there, there's other ones in other countries. Honey, we can't stop. We can't stop. Can't stop with just our family, because this is a church family. And then we all have family outside of this. I spoke earlier about my cousins. Honey, I'm satisfied that ain't none of them saved by the grace of God. Not a single one of them. So see, it didn't work for Solomon to have all those worldly things. Now listen to what Solomon tries to do at this point. He says, "And I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been done already. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that none event happened to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also was vanity. For there is no..." Now listen to this. It says, "For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool." Honey, it doesn't matter as Solomon had all those things or how wise that he was, he still died. Honey, we're all gonna die, ain't we? Honey, the scripture talks about Methuselah living 969 years. Honey, I don't know if their calendar was the same as ours back then. Honey, that doesn't matter at all. But what matters is the fact that he was born, and then he died. Honey, we all have an appointment with death. Honey, when that death angel shows up and knocks on our door, honey, that's it. Honey, we cannot change that appointment with death. It's written down, scribed down, known only to God Almighty. That's it. We can't change it. You know, there's been times I didn't want to go to the dentist's office and I called and changed that appointment. But do you know that we can't call and change that death appointment? We can't do it. Honey, so you got to be ready. When that death angel comes and knocks, we tell them over there at the nursing home, when that door of mercy shuts, honey, there's no doorknob on that other side to open it back up. Honey, when it shuts, that's it. That's it forever and forevermore. There's no coming back from it. Lost and separated from God, that's where you'll spend eternity. That's what we tell them over there from time to time, that when that mercy door shuts, honey, you just can't, ain't like a regular doorknob. You just can't reach up and open that thing again. It shuts, that's it. There's no doorknob on that. There's none at all, see. Now listen, it says, "And how dieth the wise man as the fool?" Job asks the question, see, if we can find it right quick. He says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling?" Then he asks a little while later, and he says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And then it goes on a little while later in the same chapter, and it says, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." It says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Honey, it's not literally talking about 3 or 4 days. It's talking about that we're born for a little while and then we're going to die. As he said, that Methuselah lived for a little while and then he died. See, we all are born at some point. The third chapter of Ecclesiastes talks about time to be born and a time to die. See, we all have that appointed time that we were born, and we have that appointed time that we're going to die. And we are filled with sin there, as it says. A man that is born of a woman will live a few days and full of trouble. Honey, that trouble there, my friends, it's sin there that was given to us, my friend, from the beginning of time there, when Adam and Eve were in that garden there, my friend. That's where sin began and started this journey there, my friend, to the way that we're going, my friend. And then Jesus hung there on that cross for a wretched old sinner like me, for us to have a way, my friends, to eternal life. For us to have a way. See, it don't matter. Solomon had all these things. He tried the worldly things. He thought that wisdom would help him out, see? It don't matter how wise that you are. It don't matter if you're the dumbest person on the block. If you've got salvation, honey, you've got it all. Honey, that's all that you need, my friends, to get you there. Honey, it don't matter if you're the president of the United States. You can have your name on the wall with 14 certificates with your name stenciled on them there. But if your name is not in that book of life, honey, it won't matter one hill of beans what that you've done in life. It won't matter. Nothing will matter. Not the wisdom, not the massive amount of cows, not if you even have all the wealth that China's got. It won't matter. There used to be an old saying, you can have all the tea in China. It won't matter. Nothing that matters. See, I believe the scripture talks about that even the elements are going to burn up. This building is just an old meeting place. Place to come in and worship the Lord. We could have the same meeting if we was outside in a tent. Honey, it don't matter where that we congregate and serve the Lord. He's pleased with us wherever that it might be. It's nice to have a nice facility to come into, but that ain't what makes the Spirit show up. That's not what makes God want to help us and save His lost sinners. That's not what makes calls men out to preach the word and women to sing and men to pray. That's not what makes any of that, this building. God's Spirit, wherever that we're at. That's it. Honey, because these four walls, they're going to burn up. They're all going to burn up one day here after a while. We can cherish the time that we have in them, but it's going to burn. All those things that Solomon had, they're going to burn up. That wisdom didn't do him a lick of beans. Where are you tonight? Does each of you have your name in that book of life? And are you going to work for the Lord? You know, Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Paul said, I keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Honey, we can't worry about the things that are behind us. Those are all distractions. We can't worry about the bickering and the fighting amongst us. They're distractions to keep our eyes off Christ. Honey, we got to keep pressing towards that mark and do and work for the Lord. And as Paul said, labor more abundantly than they all. But even as he did all that, he still gave credit to God for His mercy and grace. Amen. He didn't say, I did this. You notice in all them scriptures that we read of Solomon,
He said, I did this and I did that. I've probably said over here before, there was a time that I couldn't tie my shoes. You know, I can't do anything without the Lord allowing us to do it. We can't tie our shoes. We can't feed ourselves. We can't even get up in the morning, blink our eyes, take a breath, unless the Lord allows us to do it. Every blink we have, every breath we take is a blessing from God. And we take it for granted. We've got to labor and keep laboring. Because one day, like Brother Jeff, I'm liable to be in one of them nursing homes. And do you know the blessings that we get from that? Going over there from Sunday to Sunday, the joy that we see in their faces. Honey, there's some over there that can't speak. Honey, but their hands will go up. There'll be tears streaming down their faces. They can't say a word, honey. I don't know about over there in Red Bowling, but over there in Westmoreland, they get plumb happy. Nearly fall out of their wheelchairs. They're so excited. Spirit just engulfing them. We can learn something from them. There's no bickering and fighting when you go in there. They're longing for us to come in and preach God's word. Preaching, brother, know about it. How many times do we go to churches and you feel the tension in there? Try to get appointments at certain places and they say, no, you can't come because you're a member over here. But you can come if you feel the desire. I go where I can get in. I pray that each one of you, brethren, do the same. May God bless you, is our prayer. That's our thought.